Everybody hear us okay?
Yes.
All right. Welcome, everybody. It's nice to see everyone. And I give you my peace. Let's pray. Loving Father, we come before you as a team of guardians. We bow our hearts to you, and we also, Father, bend a knee spiritually. It is out of reverence and praise and adoration for you that we come together this evening, because you've set this time aside for us, that we may share with each other some of the experiences we have had, and also, Father, learn from one another. But most importantly, Father, it gives us an hour to be close to you, our big brother, and HS. We have extended an invitation to those in eternity, including those who had passed away recently in the fire, that they can come and they can receive comfort, which is what we all seek in this evening hour as well. Because, Father, sometimes we go through some difficult times through the week. And sometimes we break down, sometimes we give up. But you are the one who prods us on. Some of our fellow guardians are in that space right now. Some of them are sick and can't attend the call. Pray that you will minister unto them what they need to get them back up on their feet and to get them healthy. We seek, Father, your grace this evening, that maybe we've said or done something in between the service and now. We ask for your forgiveness. And pray, Father, for your blessing on our evening. Fill it with peace. HS, guide us. We're thankful that everybody could attend. Provide a blessing over everyone that could not make it. Connect their hearts, Father, that they do not feel left out. And we lay everything in your hands. If we've forgotten something, I know you'll cover it. And please hear us, Father. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Trying to figure it out with my computer. Okay. All right. I met with Father, and he had a very short and sweet little message, so there's not a ton of it. He said, "Welcome, my dear children. Well, you now have a new district apostle for the U.S. You will see in this country, in these, I'm sorry, let me, the cat is distracting me. You will see in the coming years many positive changes. Some of the current practices will cease, and they will be replaced with new ideas from HS, not this world. All that is happening in the Middle East is just the beginning of Jesus's return. The service for the departed is 3 weeks away. I am sure you have heard of the atrocities happening over there. Please clean the countries and go into eternity. All need your help. You can go personally to the Middle East and help the Israeli soldiers fight evil. Again, do not think one-dimensionally. You can be in numerous places at the same time. I believe Triland has told you this, but I feel it needs repeating. As guardians, you already possess a version of the glorified body without the all-over tan, as Triland would say. This is why you can do what you do. You, or have you thought about this gift I gave you? With one thought, you can be anywhere you would like. No one else on this earth possesses that or possesses what you do. And then there are numerous other gifts that Triland and I have given you. Please utilize them. We need your help. I will give you my word once again that we will be here to support all of you, and I love you." Short and sweet. To stay in the vein of the Middle East, we were talking during dinner tonight about that. And I said to Starlight, just when I think I knew how much evil there was in this world and the level of evil, this happens. And the things that we hear of what's going on to these souls and they're going through over there, just it breaks my heart. We've invited them to come this evening to spend an hour with us. So if you feel that energy, that would be why. We invited all of eternity to come. This is a special moment for us. So that's all I wanted to bring up. Does anybody have anything to say about Father's message?
When's he releasing more info about this whole end times thing? It's getting really close.
We're in
We're in
it. Like tomorrow, next week, like
soon. I don't want to hear soon.
no, not soon.
Sooner than soon.
He doesn't dwell in definitives. He likes to keep it a surprise. keep us all guessing.
Yeah.
Keep us on our toes. But he did say to me, he goes, if anybody's been waiting for some sign to get off their butt and do something, this would be it. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate all the help that everybody's giving. We pray that you keep doing it. Encourage you to keep doing it. So, Atmos, you said you had something you wanted to share with us, and Aria. So, remember we talked.
You remember?
You remember?
I remember. You have stuff you want to share. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So, the beginning of September, I basically was the coordinator for our friend's daughter's wedding. And during the reception part, there was some miscommunication and I got a little, you know, myself loud and boisterous about people doing things that they shouldn't be. Well, that came back as me being disrespectful and I embarrassed people and just this whole thing came out about it. Well, long story short, the parents of who I was doing the wedding for, they heard from people that I hurt people's feelings and I was disrespectful and all this kind of stuff. And so I explained to them my side of things because they did not know any of this until after the wedding, because the night of the wedding was perfect, just like they asked. And the things that I did were the things that they asked me to do. So I was very torn and I was very hurt because I was like, I'm doing what you asked. I did what you asked. And because I did what you asked, you're now mad at me for doing the things that you asked me to do. So it was kind of like, I was damned if I did and damned if I didn't. So that being said, I decided to meditate to let it go. I was like, okay, I explained myself to her. I told her how I felt and what happened and I apologized and that's what I did. So I meditated, let it go. A few days later, more information came to me of what people thought happened or whatever. And so again, I was like, okay, I apologized. I wrote letters, but before I meditated, I actually wrote a letter myself and I wrote all the information down and I wrote all their names and I burned it. And then I meditated. And during my meditation, from the very beginning, when Jim came around, sorry, Subplanter, Triland.
I answer to that as well.
It was Jim, then Suppy, then Triland, all the way from the beginning. Anyway, from the very beginning, when I was learning to meditate, I have in my gut chakra, I have a tunnel that leads from my gut chakra to eternity. I've never gone into it. I've only had people come to me through it. I've had family members. I've had people that I've prayed for, different things where they've come and talked to me and we've shared things with each other and then they've gone back. Well, when I was in my gut chakra, when I was meditating, I was pushed to go through to into eternity. Now, mind you, this is my first time ever being in eternity. I've never gone there before in any part of eternity. And I went into the realm of unforgiveness or unforgiven. Because at that point, I felt like I was being unforgiven for the things that I did, even though I did them according to what the person wanted. So I went into this realm and it's completely dark. And everybody is sitting on the floor with their knees up and their heads in their laps like this, just huddled over. There's no light. There's nothing. And I walked into the middle of the realm and I lit a big old bonfire, as big as I could make it. And I started explaining to them, I know how you feel. I know how you feel to be hurt, to do things that you were asked to be unforgiven, all of it. So I said, I'm here to help you. I told him my name and I said, I will walk you through all of it. I will help you figure out what you need to be forgiven for, why you want to be forgiven, and how to find Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. And I gave every single one of them a piece of paper and a pen. And I said, this is never ending. So you can write for as long as you have to. And I said, to write it down, to actually physically think of it, to write it down and to let go of it is such a huge weightlifting experience for anybody. So I said, if you need my help, I will come back. I'm here. Just let me know. And I stood there for a minute and one person raised their hand. She said, I need your help, because she said, there's a lot that I want to be forgiven for, but I don't know how to write it. And I sat down next to her and I said, it doesn't have to be a perfect sentence. It doesn't have to be a paragraph. It doesn't have to be written like a book. I said, whatever word comes to your heart, whatever feeling, whatever thing that you want to be forgiven for comes to you, write it down. No matter if it makes sense or not, because it makes sense to you and it makes sense to God. So she's like, okay. So as she started writing, she started to glow. And as that was happening, and I was sitting with her, I saw in the distance another person start to glow. And another person started to glow. And I told them, and I said, it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. And I said, when you are ready and you're done writing your note or your list or your letter, your book, whatever it needs to be, put it in this fire. Take a breath, let it go, and you will find God, I promise you. And you will find forgiveness, and it will be a totally different experience for you. And then I left. And that was it.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And I have not been back. So that's kind of something that's weighing on me that I need to go back. I have not been back yet to see how they're doing.
They're here right now.
The ones that have been forgiven? Or all of them?
A handful of them. Not a lot.
Given them. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So quickly, my experience was, and I'll start with this, is we missed last month's meeting, and I know that the theologian for the New Bestout Church was brought up and kind of some of the changes that have been made. And when we listened to the meeting a couple of days afterwards, you know, the first thing that popped into my mind was there was a demon somewhere in his space. And then I instead of going there and looking, I meditated. I went to go and I went and talked to Jesus because I wasn't sure. I just my gut told me that it was a possibility, but I went and saw Jesus and he said, it's actually not a demon. He said, the theologian's worldly education has allowed an unknowing connection for Satan's whisperings to be pushed through to him. And that this is happening of his own will. And the only way it can stop is when he finally recognizes it, realizes it, and does something, or someone else eventually does something about it. So there's nothing we can do about it. It's just pray. The other thing, while I was meditating, I went and saw a father, and he did a couple of things for me. First, he connected my gift of empathy with his, and if you know, if you've ever seen those magnetic clasps for bracelets or for a necklace or something where you bring them together and they just kind of go whoop, and they connect together, that's what it was like. And then I was like, oh boy, what am I getting myself into here with this? This is going to be crazy. And it hasn't been. I think what it's done is it's given my feelings of empathy structure, and it's helped me to see things more clearly, instead of kind of all like frazzled and kind of like the old school antenna when you were trying to get a station and it was real fuzzy. It's kind of like that. Now it's really crystal. It's more crystal clear quicker. So that's been kind of interesting. And then I handed my sword, my shield over to Father. And I said, these are yours. They will always be yours. Just like I am. And he He strengthened them and he handed them back to me. He said, "You are now my general. You are now a true general guardian. Take these and fight for me." And he changed my armor, and it's definitely been, it's been clarifying since that meditation. Everything has been more clear. Then he gave me, some of you may know, I've always, when I go to see Father, I'm always really little. Everybody's like, "Oh, I'm 10 foot tall." I'm like, "Not me. I'm used to being a tall guy in the real world, but there I'm not tall at all." He gave me, he had this big ball, a glowing ball in his hand, and he handed it to me. And he goes, "Here, this is pure power of me." And I looked at him. I was like, "Okay, now what do I do?" And he goes, "Take a deep breath and push this into your heart." And I did. And as I did, I grew to 10 foot tall. So I'm officially 10 foot tall in God's throne.
Congratulations.
So it was, and it changed my, he basically was taking out my old energy and replacing it with a whole new energy. And it just was, there was another amazing feeling. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell, but it was a lot in a short span. And again, it's clarified. It strengthened and clarified a lot of the powers that he's given me. So that's it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Trisus was going to be on the call tonight, but I prayed for one of our guardians is at the end of their rope. And that's Trisus currently. So I'm asking all of you to please pray for him. Mm-hmm. Father's made him a lot of promises. His body's getting weaker. Mm-hmm. And he just needs us to all remember him, please, if you would. But I asked him to help Lexi. If you remember, Starlight and I tried to help Lexi a number of times. She had demons in the house. She had spirits. She had a couple souls come through. We did what we could. And then I handed her off to Trisus because she lives in Florida and so does he. So they were able to connect. He was able to do some more things for her. And then he called on Q to step in. So I asked Q if he would share what's going on.
Okay. And I'm going to take it from the note that Trisus had, because I want to make sure that I cover everything that he said, and I want to get some clarification then on some of the later things, because we haven't really discussed it further. But he states that, and this is Trisus, "When I first contacted her, there was little evil still in the house, my lead suggesting that there was a spirit mimicking a soul. I removed it. The electronic devices still turned on by themselves, and the typing still occurred on the TV screen. Father suggested I reach out to Quasar for assistance in moving a portal. I was confused because there were no more souls on her property. My lead insisted I contact Quasar to move the portal. I had hesitated because of my health and mindset. He was off for a week or so. Father advised that Lexi kind of thinks it is cool or not scary, and is almost inviting the behavior in her house." Okay, so that's the background there. And so when he contacted me, we talked about the portal. The portal, there are different portals. I mean, there are portals for evil to get directly to a place from where they are. And there is a portal for souls that can travel. And, you know, and the spirits as well. And so what we found is that the portal was right there and evil could come in at will. And when he first contacted me, I prayed about it, contemplated, and thought, so I've moved several portals, I think, I'm kidding, less than 10, but a number of them. And what I would typically do is throw them into a field or a woods or the middle of a lake or something like that. And unfortunately, I started thinking about it, those things still can be found. And so what do we do about that? And I prayed and contemplated. And then the thought came prior to our getting together that there isn't a whole lot of activity in Antarctica. because it's solid. And there aren't a lot of people who go there. And the people who do go there, they can't go everywhere. So we decided that we were going to take it and throw it to the middle of Antarctica. And it was harder than we thought. We grabbed it together and we started throwing it, and we actually threw it, but it went for a little ways and then it stopped. And so we had to grab it and push it all the way there. And then when we got it there, then we basically planted it, and then we came back. So then, as we were talking, we were discussing the fact that Lexi was potentially inviting this interaction, and that she liked it. Well, if you remember a while ago, maybe a few years ago, I talked about having an experience where I was walking down the street with the dog, and I walked by a car with the windows open, and there were things in the car. And this feeling just came over me, and it was the same feeling of excitement that I had when I was in junior high and we would steal from cars. And I realized that that's what they do. And so then when I heard about this and that Lexi kind of enjoys it, prayed more, and we basically realized that, you know, Father is the creator. Satan can't create, but he surely can use. And they have the ability to entice us with these feelings of excitement and like, it just, it feels good. And that feeling then attracts them. And so Lexi was getting attention. I hate to say it that way, but you know what I'm saying. This happened, but then the excitement of the attention, but then this thing that's happening, it's kind of cool, you know, to see someone typing on your TV and to get a message from it. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people love these movies about this kind of stuff, and they get all excited about it. They think, oh, this is just, and it's not cool. It's not cool and it's not good, but that feeling of excitement. So when I was talking with Trisus, I said, please help her to understand that could be it. So she has to resist that and realize that they don't need to be there. They're not supposed to be there. And if a soul goes there, then she should pray for that soul. But then the rest of the stuff, she has to just resist it. And that's where it ends for me. And I hope that he did something with that, but I haven't talked with him about it. We went on vacation. A lot of things happen and life gets in the way and I feel terrible.
I know that she came with her boyfriend and they spent an entire day with John. He didn't share with me the details. I was waiting for him to do that tonight. So we'll find out at the next meeting. I'll have him talk about it, but I haven't heard anything from him about her situation anymore. So I'm assuming that worked.
Okay. Yeah. And hopefully. And right. And then just to add to that, everyone and anyone who is entertaining a demon or something, they're letting it stay there. Don didn't know it, but he was letting all of those demons stay there. But he wasn't really aware of it, but it felt good. And that's a good thing for us to understand so that we can help people to understand, you know, what they can do.
Good point. Thank you.
Well, isn't that how whatever we entertain, you know, that affects our soul?
Yeah.
And that's especially why we have to be careful of what we entertain.
For sure.
In regards to those, the portals, I've always grabbed them and taken them to another planet. It used to be Mars, but now it's Jupiter because I, you know, everybody, Elon wants to go to Mars, so I don't want to have it be a problem for him if he does that. To make it there. But, so I've picked Jupiter.
At most, you're right.
And I physically grab them and I take them to Jupiter. Let them go. See ya. Have fun trying to get back.
Nice.
I whip them out into the universe. Like I just take them and just they're gone. They just keep on going.
So now I know who to blame when the ice shelf melts in Antarctica. It's not global warming. It's quasar.
Demonic activity.
I'm very sorry about that, but I will take care of that.
No, I mean, no. You did what you needed to do. That made sense. So that's there's a reason that it's there. It's not right or wrong, right?
Believe it then.
Can you close those off? Do they have to just go somewhere else? Is there any way to
go ahead, Trump, and I'll let you answer.
Father doesn't want us to interfere as far as shutting them off or closing them off. He just said move them.
Okay.
Just move because they were laid before any of us existed, and now we're dwelling in places where they've always been. So we're just relocate them.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Relocate them to Jupiter.
That's right.
Yeah. So like when Mars once when on. When Tri-Land came to visit to Houston, there was a portal in my sister's backyard, and we were doing everything, and then Tri-Land comes over, and my sister tells him what's going on, and he goes, oh, there's a portal here. And that portal has been there for prehistoric age, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you can do about it.
I moved it. So now the dinosaurs are lost.
Nice.
Yes, he moved it.
Got it.
Anybody have anything else they'd like to share? Some victories?
We could share the.
I have. Have sent Trofal, and I've sent 10 legions to the Gaza Strip to remove the innocent so that they can find help and to expose those who are causing this problem.
Thank you.
Diane and Jamie, is it interesting that he used the word the innocents? So let me start and talk about a couple of things, and then we'll talk about Jamie's experience. I'm not sure who all knows, so I'll just give you a what happened. My youngest brother, Dwayne's son, DJ, many of you know him, obviously, moved into a property that he was renting and renovating, and it was just a disaster. It wasn't a good house. The heating wasn't working. Someone came to try to fix it. They couldn't fix it. They used space heaters. And that night, Sunday night, Monday morning at 2 a.m., the house caught fire. DJ was drywalling prior to this and fell asleep, sitting up, leaned up against the wall, sitting in a chair. And he woke up to Eden, their youngest, standing in front of him, and he knew that the house was on fire. He grabbed her, broke the window open. They were on the second floor, broke a window, put her out on the roof, and was going to turn around and go back to get the others. But then he thought she's going to fall. So he went out on the roof, jumped down. She jumped into his arms. He couldn't get back on the roof. He went around the front and he tried to get through the front door and he couldn't. And he heard them screaming, and he couldn't get them, and Elliot and Evelyn perished. It was a bad week. On Friday night, they were together all week with Dwayne, and I don't know of the experiences. I hope everything it went as well as it can go. But on Friday night was the visitation, and it wasn't like a typical visitation when you go to a funeral home and you just stand there and you say hello and then you leave. The tables were set up kind of like dinner style, and Diane put this spread out of hors d'oeuvres and desserts and things. It was just beautiful. And it was such a beautiful environment, and everybody just came in and stayed. And we all hugged each other. Everybody was hugging and just supporting. And then when DJ finally got there, he had a hard week, no doubt. He was in the fetal position most of the time at Dwayne's house. And he feels so guilty that he didn't do enough, and he couldn't save them. He blamed himself. I saw them when they were greeted by Bob and Dad. They greeted them and picked them up and welcomed them, and they knew they were coming. Then they said, "Our whole family's here." And I looked at the uncountable gathering, and most of the faces I didn't recognize. And so way back in history, our ancestry, they were all there to greet them and to meet them. And more things happened after that, but I wasn't going to tell DJ that. I had decided that I'm not going to tell him that, because I don't know how that's going to go. He got there, and a few people hugged him, and I went up to him and I hugged him, and he just squeezed me. And I said, "I'm going to tell you some things." And I said, "They were met by Bobby and Dad, and they are good. They are at peace, and they're fine." And I said, "You're going through all of this right now. Please don't try to get through this. Don't try to get better. Don't try." And I didn't plan all this stuff. I'm telling you things that the Holy Spirit just spoke to him. Just be. And somehow, some way, our Heavenly Father is so great that every day he gives us just a little bit more strength to go on. And so just be. And don't stop talking with him. Talk with him about everything and anything, but don't interrupt that connection. He will help you through this. And then I said, "And the kids are at peace." And he said, "Do you promise me that?" And I said, "Absolutely. They are good. They are at peace." And when I first told him that, his legs gave out, and I had to hold him up. And then Cindy was standing behind me as I was talking. He was squeezing me harder and harder. And Cindy just said, she was squeezing. And it was a beautiful interaction. And we were done. And I thought, I didn't plan on telling him any of that stuff, but he seemed to brighten a little bit, because he was dark before that. He was so out of it. Anyway, that was that interaction. And then some other things happened. And Jamie, you want to take over?
Well, let me start mine first.
Okay, thank you. Oh, that's right. Thank you.
Monday, you called Monday morning and told me at work. And of course, it's so surreal when you hear news like this. And I couldn't comprehend at first. You know, it's like, it was just a rough day. I left early from work because we were all going out to Duane's, and this was Monday, so it had just happened that morning. And on my way, of course, you're crying, you know, you're thinking about everything, and oh my goodness, you know, what's going to happen? And so I get a visit from my grandmother. This is my mom's mom, Grandma Dursick, and my great aunt Dory, which, you know, Aunt Dory is the one that we went in the Catholic realm, and anyway, she's sealed and everything now, but they proceed to tell me, and then Renee shows up, his sister, that they have the children now. And Grandma said specifically to me, you make sure and tell DJ that they're good and they don't remember anything. They only know the good. They don't know the bad. And she said, you make sure and tell him that, and we have them. And then she said to me, you know, his autism is gone now. And, you know, I'm just, oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Because you don't think about that. He was autistic. Elliot was, he was 7, precious boy. So, okay, fine. I get there and I finally tell DJ, and he did the same thing with me. He collapsed to the ground and he just, you know, I mean, news like that, I could see where he wanted to believe it. He wanted to accept that, but it's still so hard, you know? And he just held me and we cried together. And I said, they're okay, DJ. I know that doesn't help you at this point, but I want you to know that they're all right. So then I went in and sat with Amy. And, you know, and Amy's part of the family. Obviously, she's the kid's mom, but they're not married. So I think in some instances, she doesn't feel like she's really part of the family. You know what I mean? Everyone's there for DJ. They were there for her too, but the situation is what it is. So she was, Evelyn's favorite song was Oceans by Hillsong. So she was playing that and writing in her journal and just crying. And I went and sat with her and I put my arm around her and I told her the same thing. And I said, and just so you know, his autism is gone. And she started to cry. And then she looked at me and she said, can he talk now? Because he couldn't talk. Says to me, Mommy, I can talk now. So I told her that, you know, and she's crying. And I said, they both said they love you very much. And then she looked at me and I said, and they said, to the moon and back. And she says, oh my gosh, I used to tell them that every night.
Oh my goodness.
So in that instance, I think that that calmed her a little bit, that helped her a little bit, that she realized, okay. And she accepted what I was telling her, you know, and I just, you know, it's like, it just came out. I wasn't sitting there trying to think of things that I needed to tell her. We were just sitting together. And so I think that helped her, calmed her down a little bit. I mean, it was still emotional. It was just a rough week for everyone. And, you know, but then we hear in service, you know, the funeral service, so much of what we shared with these two,
everything,
it all came out. I mean, it about how they're at peace. They're not, the autism is gone. I mean, it's like, and I never said a word to the evangelist and neither did you.
Did I.
We didn't, he didn't know any of what we experienced, but so much said, he says, you know, they don't remember the bad. They remember the good. And just, it was just like almost verbatim sometimes what he was saying. So talk about the Holy Spirit working. And that kind of reiterated, I think, to DJ, you know, that, okay, this has to be the way it is then, you know, it's okay. Well, then he has an experience. The one who says he can't ground and nothing ever happens and he can't do anything. Okay.
Well, Tuesday, driving, this little girl comes to me and she's like, hey, and I'm like, what? You know, I'm hearing the voices in my head and all. She's like, tell DJ. And I'm like, oh, I know who it is now.
Well, give him the backstory. Because my husband, he's like, okay, Holy Spirit, if you want me to know something, you have to be
very specific. Smack me in the head.
Because I don't get, you know, all these, you know, you have to tell me. So instead of saying my dad, you know.
She's like, hey.
Tell DJ so he gets it. It's funny.
Yeah. She's like, hey, tell DJ. And I'm like, oh, you're okay. You're his little girl. All right. She's like, tell him we're innocents like Stefan. And I'm like, innocents? You mean innocent? She's like, be specific. Innocents. I'm okay. And I had to think about it for a minute. I'm like, Stefan, who is Stefan? Stefan is the one who was, who was stoned to death. Well, and I thought for a second and I'm like, okay, so like you guys don't, you know, did you like fall asleep or something? She's like, no, Father took all the bad away. We only take the love with us. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of cool. And then a little bit later, she's like, you know, tell them to take care of each other. And then she took off. But it was
well,
it was,
Deacon Stephen wasn't put to sleep so he wouldn't feel the pain when they were stoning him.
Yep.
Right. I mean, the innocence, yeah. So, yeah.
So I'm going to add two more things. And then the second thing, we need your help. The first thing is, during the funeral service, I basically realized and was told that they had to go together because they were so connected.
Yep.
That they couldn't have, if one went and the other didn't, it wouldn't have been good for either of them.
Right.
And I can tell by your actions, Tryland and Starlight, you already knew this. But how beautiful that our Heavenly Father, even though it's so terrible, that he did not separate them.
Right,
and
right.
We now have, they're in good place. Okay, so now the next thing.
Together.
So the next thing is, my brothers want to get together and talk. And nobody has said anything to me. And I even asked Donnie, I said, well, okay, we don't get together. What do we want to talk? He says, well, there are some things. And then I started praying about it. And I have a feeling I know what it is. And Corinne heard one of our cousins talking about how angry they are at Amy. And their blame is rearing its ugly head. And the service today was so amazing. Out of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians. But it's exactly what is needed and necessary. And I don't know what will be brought up in what they're talking about. But this is what the picture that Father gave me in the service. Right now, it's beautiful and it's peaceful. In eternity with those children and the hearts of everyone, they're being healed. If anyone starts throwing stones and blaming, or even saying something like, God forbid, it was intentional. I don't think that it was, but if someone has the feeling that it could have been, and they talk about that, it could tear everything down.
And so whenever any one of us talks with anyone who says, yeah, but she should have been there or whatever, we have to say, Father has this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Period.
She was working.
And she, right. And, but all I'm saying is every time anything like that negative comes up, quell it, just nip it in the bud and blast it.
Even if she was there, they still would have perished.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
And she might have gone too, or DJ. I mean, who knows what could have happened? Like,
exactly. See,
it's,
and
the
it's,
way that it was supposed to be. Yes.
Right. That's exactly right. And so the shoulda, woulda, coulda
correct
thing came up a little bit, and I was proud of Debbie. She quelled it. She stopped them from doing that.
Good.
But we might have to keep doing that, but just pray about it. And I asked the whole team, please pray about it. We're going to get together with the brothers, and I'm hopeful that we get together before Donnie leaves, because I don't want it to grow, and I don't know what it is. I'm not saying
but DJ loves Amy, and they were trying to make it work. They've had their problems. She grew up as an orphan. It's been rough for them. And like I said, I think in a lot of ways, she's not always been the best mother. We've all had issues. She's tried, though. And
she still tried.
Yes. And I think sometimes she just feels like an outcast. And that bothers me.
Well,
she's
and
their mother.
And here's where the Holy Spirit just put this in my heart while I was listening to Q talk about it. How can we act like Jesus if we're not going to act like Jesus? How can we say we're Christians if we're not going to act like Jesus? How can we stand at the back door of the church and ask people to come in, but then turn around
and
act
talk
like
it.
That?
Yeah.
If that is truly the case, Q, how are we being Christian? I would immediately question their faith. How could they possibly?
The biggest thing that I would say is, who are you?
Correct.
So question Father's plan.
Yeah.
Right.
Because nothing happens without his approval.
Well, and we knew that. And we know that. And that even came out in the service, too.
There.
You know, he has the bigger picture. He has the plan.
Part of it is that people who don't necessarily have a strong rooted faith, they're looking at someone or something to blame because that's right. The easiest.
But I believe those
right?
men do.
And but then, like, even me, like, even during this week, I just like stood. I was talking to Triland about it, and I said, my brain doesn't comprehend. Like, oh. I don't get it. And I said, I'm just going to stop right there because I don't need to.
Good
I don't need to understand. I don't need to understand. I don't want to understand. It's
right.
Father.
All I care about is that those two precious children didn't suffer.
Yeah. Yes.
And I'm praying for DJ
yep.
and Amy and Eden because yep. they still have one baby. They
and,
still have a baby
yeah.
that they need to be a part of and raise a family. And I know that it's devastating that Elliot and Evelyn are gone, but they are still here. And it was
well,
for some reason.
And I think they kind of all got together last night. At least Brandy was telling me today that DJ and Amy and Amy and her had a talk. And so I think because we invited them all over, but they kind of, DJ and Amy kind of went and did their own thing and let balloons go and kind of had their own little ceremony thing for the kids so that they could do it alone and be alone. She's kind of a loner that way. So I think, from what I understand, Brandy talked with them and stuff. So it kind of was helping a little bit the situation between them and what's going on. So,
Also, Satan likes to get his hands mixed in things, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So if there's a weak piece in it, we're going to, he's going to start poking and putting his finger in places. So hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I told her, I said, you're part of this family too. They're your children.
She always has been. I mean,
yep.
even before they had kids.
Right. Right.
So Laura, Starlight, what mm-hmm. you said, so who are we to question God? That's exactly it. Okay. Right. And I had that exact words came out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. talking with my mom because she was saying shoulda, woulda, coulda. And I said, you can't do that, obviously. And I said, think about it this way. So something happens and then we start questioning it and trying to figure out why. And then the blame comes. And it's like saying, this is a terrible thing. God, you are wrong, and you don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're thinking, but we're now going to fix it. And she went, oh. And it was nice that she had that aha moment.
Right.
And the same thing is, like, when what we've realized is that the letting go and letting God means that we have this burden and we pray about it and we give it to him. And when we give it to him, he gives us peace. When we don't, we still worry about it. It's like saying, yeah, I know I asked you, but you can't help me. I have to do it myself. And he's going, I'm waiting to help. Okay. So it's like the same scenario. And
it's like an Indian giver. You give it to him, but you take it back.
Yeah. Right. But you know, that whole concept right there, most of the people that we know don't understand it that clearly.
Yeah. It's hard, but like, and after I came to that realization, there was a peace, I guess, a peace about it where I could, I just was like more focused and just praying for them and pray, you know, just rather than it all just like swirling around, because there was so much of me trying to figure it out. And I'm like, there is nothing to figure out. I don't understand. And that's okay.
But see, you know, did that, you gave it to Father.
Yep.
And then the beautiful part that I never realized before is that then he puts peace into us. And then when we're in that situation, we forget about it. Oh yeah, that's right. But it's because he gives us that peace.
And you're able to use whatever you need to do, you're able to help Father in his work and try to, you know, I guess help in whatever way you can, you know, whether it be praying or consoling or whatnot, or offering words, you know, from the Holy Spirit, like you guys did.
So that's that. Thank you very much.
The biggest thing is, I guess at this point, we understand the children are okay, and that is what it is. Yep. And now it's just being here for those that are left behind, and we're here, and it's, you know, we understand and we have that faith, and we were even shown these kids are in a good place, but it's just trying to help the parents and those, because, you know, face it, they haven't been to church, and I'm not saying they don't have a faith. They just haven't been practicing it. So they've kind of, you know, they kind of are away from that a little bit. So just trying to help them, you know, to deal with it and to understand a little bit. And, you know, and that's kind of where we are now, you know, just trying to help everyone along a little bit. And, you know, he has a purpose for those children.
For that, sure.
That's obvious.
Absolutely.
But it's getting everyone here to get that and to be, and not that it's ever going to be okay, because they're two children. But, you know, to at least have that understanding that, okay, you know, now we have to just get through this. And that's what we're trying right now, you know. And
Starlight wanted to say something.
And Diane, with what you're saying, that just, it reminded me of something I was thinking of earlier, is that, you know, when people pass and then there's the funeral and everything, it's like everything is going on. And then all of a sudden, when everything is done, then people start forgetting. And that's, you know, everybody's probably seen that with their own families and things, you know, and that's where I was just like, I need to be diligent. You know, everybody needs to be diligent, whether it's through prayer or whatever, reaching out, however, because it's a very, very hard time, very lonely time, you know. And
well, and that actually was brought out in the funeral. The evangelist brought that out and said, please, you know, in the next few weeks, in the next month, I mean, they have a benefit dinner in a couple of weeks. And then, you know, and so, but it's like after that, you know, then they're going to be alone again. I mean, DJ said his mom, where was everybody before this? Right. I mean, that broke my heart. It's like, you know, I said, but he didn't ask. We didn't know that they, you know, were in such, anyway. So, but yes, now to be diligent further out even, and to be, you know, we have to keep up with this. We have to remember that, not just in our prayer, but in our action, you know.
Exactly.
And that's the theme for this month, is to practice your faith. So this is where we practice our faith.
Yes.
Thank you. Good meeting. Appreciate everybody sharing things. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Okay. Once again. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, could I add a little bit of something?
Sure. Yep.
This may not seem like something huge, but it was kind of huge for us. This past weekend, we did a girls' weekend up at my aunt's cabin, and Ariana turned 21, and I still can't believe we are old enough to have a 21-year-old, but we do. And she has been planning her 21st birthday since she was 18. And she always said that she wanted to do a girls' weekend up at my aunt's cabin, and she wanted me, and she wanted Aunt Jeannie and Stephanie and my mom and Aunt Linda. And of course, my mom passed away and Aunt Linda passed away this spring. And so my sister-in-law came instead, and we were on our hike. There's in Island Park, there's this spot we call, it's Coffee Pot is what it's called. And there's this, it's just a beautiful hike along the river. And we were hiking and we stopped to have lunch. And while we had lunch, we set out this sheet so we could all sit down and eat. And while we were sitting there, Ariana was on one end of the sheet and my aunt and my cousin were in the middle and I was on the other end of the sheet. And while we were sitting there having lunch, the hugest, and I've never seen a butterfly that big. And it was just beautiful. And it sat down right next to Ariana's leg. And then it sat there for a little bit. And then it got up and it flew all the way around our group. And it came and sat down next to my leg. And I told Ariana, I said, honey, I think that's Grandma. She is there for your birthday.
Nice.
So it was just a sweet moment.
Can I also tell you that Evelyn's favorite thing was butterflies, and everything had butterflies in it at the funeral?
Nice.
And we had butterfly wings for her, and they were everywhere. So I just want to tell you that too.
It's all connected.
It's all connected.
Well, and then it was so interesting because we were on this hike, and keep in mind, this was Ariana's 21st birthday weekend, and we were on this little hike, and we hit this point where sort of the river was a little bit further down, so you would have to kind of shimmy down on the rocks to get to the river, and Ariana and I had stopped, and we were just stopping to get a drink of water, and all of a sudden Ariana looked and she goes, Mom, somebody threw a flag on the ground. And I went, what? And we looked down and there was this American flag, just sort of one of those small ones on a stick, and it was just laying in the ground. And I was so proud of her because she saw the flag sitting there and she goes, I'm going to go pick it up because you shouldn't throw the flag on the ground. So she shimmied down the rocks and went to go pick it up. And when she did so, she found this rock that somebody had painted on with the name of a soldier.
Yeah.
And it was a soldier who had passed away and he was killed in action. His name was John Dale Peterson. And it said, Sergeant Don Dale Peterson killed in action April 1st, 1969, South Korea. Hmm. And so we looked it up, and Ariana was so sweet. She dusted off the flag and cleaned it up and put it back by the rock so that it was standing upright. And then we looked this gentleman up, and it turns out I don't think he enlisted. I think back in 1969, he probably was in a draft, right? And so he was drafted on January, so 1-4 of 1969, and he died on 4-1 of 1969. So he had only been in there for 4 months, but he was 21 and when he passed. And Ariana herself noticed, she goes, Mom, he was 21. I just turned 21. And I said, I know. I said, honey, I think you were meant to find that rock. And I think maybe he just needs your prayers. And nobody knew, but you found him, and you're the same age. And so this is just kind of an awesome experience.
Right.
So I just wanted to share that because I thought it was just so cool. And just for her to experience that herself.
Nice. Thank you.
Pretty awesome.
Yes. Thank you. Beautiful meeting. Beautiful. Thank you, everyone, for participating and sharing. For October, there are no birthdays. For November, there's no birthdays.
Wow.
But on December 13th, it's Atmos's birthday. We always forget Atmos. We're not going to forget him this year. Okay?
Happy birthday to you.
Got you, bud.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. I thank you.
You're welcome.
I have some choices for you to say. Next time I see you in person, Charlie.
I look forward to the hug. Okay, so I asked Blazar if he would close tonight. So Blazar, please.
Hello.
You're muffled. We still can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
We can. Yeah.
In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we come before you, knelt before your throne as guardians, and we ask that you may comfort those who mourn. That is the promise that your Son gave in the service on the Mount. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Heavenly Father, you understand everything and you see all. We are your tools. We are your servants. We want to do everything because we love you. We love you, Heavenly Father. And we ask that we can do the best that we can possibly do, that we can comfort, edify, glorify your name, that we can be speakers of the gospel, that we can testify of the glory and the power of the Trinity, that we have the opportunity to save, to bring salvation to souls, Heavenly Father. Comfort us. Give us the strength. Give us the understanding to overcome ourselves so that we may be your servants, that we may be able to edify in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we do not look down upon anyone, but that we may bring glory and speak the truth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us the strength. Give us the understanding. Give us the will to overcome ourselves and to be loving and kind to those that don't. And for those that are our enemies, which we will battle. Heavenly Father, we put them before you, that you may judge them, that you may remove them before us. Not us. Not us as guardians, because we are protectors. We are builders of the church, builders of the faith. We are servants. Heavenly Father, we ask that you can lead us forward so that we can bring this work of completion to the end, along with our dear apostles, because they need our help as well. And Heavenly Father, that you can give strength to the ministers, strength to this church, because Jesus, you are the one that established this church. And be with my dear brother, Triland, that he may have wisdom to guide us to the end. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for my fellow guardians because they uplift me and they provide for me. They give me everything that I need in order for me to be an overcomer. Be with those dear children, Heavenly Father. And comfort EJ, because Father, you know, and I have told you, if you ever took one of my children from me, I would go to war with you. So, Father, give him understanding. Give him everything that comes out of your father's heart, that he may have peace, a peace, a serenity that can last for eternity until he can see his beloved children and comfort those who are part of this family. This hurt, this pain is so hard. It breaks my heart. But Father, you are all. You are good and loving and kind, and you shall provide and will provide until the end of days. And this is why I love you. Because you are my God, my Father, and my all. Be with each and every one, and surround us with thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Love all of you very much.